Hey, Roots fam. We're so glad that you're joining us for worship this morning. Both Pastor Oshita and I are preaching at other congregations, unfortunately, but we still wanted to close out our teaching series on the Book of Revelation with some teaching and some dialogue. And we've saved the very best for last, the New Heaven and the New Earth passage in Revelation chapter 21.
Okay, so when we started this series, I confessed to you all that I was nervous about Revelation because it felt overwhelming and intimidating. And several of you all acknowledged that, but we have gone through this book and we see that this final vision is meant to comfort God's people, to steady us and to open us to hope. So as we begin, let's just take a moment to check in with ourselves. We're gonna loosen our shoulders, take some deep breaths, and lean into Revelation 21 with some curiosity to see what God wants to show us.
Revelation 21 begins like this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and be their God."
And then it goes on to give us this promise that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more, and mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true."
This is the climax of the entire biblical story. When John received this vision, the church was struggling, marginalized, pressured by empire, wondering whether their faithfulness even mattered at all. As we've said throughout this series, Revelation isn't a crystal ball or a code book for predicting the future. It's actually resistance literature. It's God's way of telling a weary people, empire doesn't get the last word. Violence doesn't get the last word. Death doesn't even get the last word. The God of new creation gets the last word. And when John of Patmos writes about this new heaven and new earth, the word he uses for new needs to be explained. Rather than using the word neos, which might be apparent sounds like new, he uses kainos, which is about something that is being refreshed, something that is new in quality. This has theological significance. God is not throwing out the current heaven and earth in a trash can and starting over. No, God loves this world and is not destroying it. Instead, this shows us that God is restoring the world and transforming it rather than abandoning it. This is similar to the Christian understanding of resurrection. God is not done with bodies made of matter. We will have bodies in the age to come.
Yeah.
It's just that they will be glorified, renewed bodies. And this is good news because it reminds us that the work that we do now to build for God's kingdom is not in vain. What God will do to renew the world completes the work that God has already begun doing through the Spirit and through God's people.
That's really good news that we need to take a moment and ponder. So I'm going to invite you to step into John's experience for a moment and imagine he's isolated on an island, exiled, cut off from his people. And then suddenly God's future rushes towards him. Now imagine what hope feels like when you're exhausted, when you're isolated, when you're overwhelmed. Imagine the relief of hearing that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Not abstractly, but personally, tenderly. Let yourself feel the weight of a God who comes close enough to dry your tears.
Another important detail in this whole passage is the holy city. It comes down. We don't escape earth and go to God. God comes here. God renews creation from the inside out. This overturns rapture theology. The story of Revelation is not up, up, and away. It's God comes down and dwells among us. God makes God's home with us.
I need to hear that. And maybe some of you need to hear that too. You don't need to climb your way to heaven. We don't have to do that. We don't have to earn our closeness to God because God moves towards us, towards our grief, towards our uncertainty, towards our longing. God meets us right where we are. So let's take a moment and ponder, where in our lives do we need for God to come near?
Yeah. Something else that's important to note here is the mention of no more sea. I know for those of us who enjoy a good beach trip, that doesn't sound like our version of heaven, does it? But this is another reason why it's important not to take symbols in Revelation literally. In the ancient world, the sea symbolized chaos, threat, everything that felt uncontrollable. John's vision means that the chaotic forces in the world will be tamed by God. Mm. No more war, no more genocide, no more systemic injustice.
So what this means for us is that chaos doesn't get to rule our life. Our trauma stories don't get to define us. So where in your life have you experienced chaos churning that you need God to come close to?
Yeah. Then the text says this, God will wipe away every tear. And this is priestly language. It's God tending to human wounds.
God is meeting us in our isolation, in our exhaustion, in our chaos. This is the tenderness of God. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the hand of God on your cheek. This is the God who sees your sorrow without rushing you past it.
Yeah. Then the one seated on the throne says, behold, I am making all things new. This is the center of Christian hope. Not destruction, but transformation. Not escape, but renewal.
So, take a moment and ponder, where in your life are you experiencing an ache that needs to be made new?
Yeah.
What in our world longs for renewal?
Yeah. Then finally, the text describes a city coming down from heaven. The city is called the New Jerusalem. And this is yet another symbol. Rather than being a place, this is a people. They are prepared like a bride for God's new creation. And like a bride, they are loved and cherished. The future that Revelation reveals is not individualistic, it's communal. Isolation is not our destination. Beloved community is.
So, beloveds, here is the contemplative truth. We don't build the New Jerusalem, we become a foretaste of it.
That's right.
Renewal begins in our relationships, in the quality of our love for one another, and in our welcoming of the stranger.
That's right. Revelation ends where Genesis began, with God dwelling in the midst of humanity in a healed creation.
So that's not overwhelming. That's not intimidating. That is so hopeful. Revelation tells the story of God through Christ and the Spirit dwelling closer and closer until everything broken is mended and everything wounded is healed. Like, this is the promise. God is making all things new. So join me as I close in prayer to the God who makes all things new. Revealing God, you who make your home among us, open our imaginations to the world you are bringing. Heal what is wounded. Renew what is weary. Stir our hope that we might live as people of the new creation right here, right now. Make all things new. Begin in us. And all God's misfits say,
Amen.
We love you. We hope you have a great time doing dialogue. We will see you next week for Love Feast and our town hall. Bye, friends.